From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Super excited about today's show. We have Gabriella Covey. She is the founder and managing director of Bright Valley Marketing. We're going to be diving into marketing. And I'd like to say on this show that the reason we started the show was to tell stories of winning, to inspire, to educate, and connect entrepreneurs in the Sacramento region with people who really understand the power of entrepreneurship, how to help entrepreneurs. And today, that's what we're going to attempt to do. Today will probably be a tad bit more educational, I would say, by and large. At least for me, this is going to be educational. However, Gabriella inspired me when she sent over a little bit of her background earlier, and she had made this video that we'll talk about later in the show that really is inspirational. And I'll leave that as kind of a tease for later in the show, because first we're going to get to know Gabriella and learn a little bit about marketing. So, and with a specific emphasis on digital marketing. And so I'm going to ask her to sort of break it down for the old man. Anyway, welcome to the show, Gabriella.
Thank you so much for having me here.
You bet. Now, on your bio, you mentioned that you have a special, affinity for helping mompreneurs, right? Moms that are in this fight for the good fight for entrepreneurship. Why mompreneurs?
I'm a mom. Okay. So I understand the female demographic, the moms that are, you know, we have so many things on our plates all the time, but we also have these desires within us to create, to innovate. So supporting moms is so important for me. Mm-hmm. And it's something that obviously, because I'm a mom, it speaks to me.
And
so
moms,
I want to see
so,
more moms out there creating and elevating the world.
Moms are, they're like... to me, you're the heroes. I talk about them entrepreneurs being the heroes of the American economy. But I mean, if you're a mom doing this and you've got, how many kids do you have?
I have two kids. One is 5 and a half and the other is 2 and a half.
Oh my gosh. And you're an entrepreneur and you're helping other entrepreneurs. So this is really, I think it takes a special calling to do that. Do you have any affinity for helping grandpreneurs, old people that are entrepreneurs, right? We have all these extra things that we have to worry about too, right? We have our naps in the middle of the day. We have, we've got to take our medication at night. So I'm looking for somebody who's got a special heart for people who are elderly entrepreneurs.
So my mom actually has always had a dream for writing children's books. So oh, wow. I will be helping her, you know, fulfill that dream of hers. Oh. And I think it's possible now more than ever in the digital economy, the creator economy, we can do anything. Mm-hmm. Everything's at our fingertips.
So cool. So cool. I love that. All right, let's get into some education. When we think about digital marketing, it's like this enormous, topic, if you will. If we were doing a class on digital marketing, it would take, years. Mm. But in terms of like for a podcast, what area would we want to focus on? Your specialty is search engine optimization.
Search engine optimization primarily, yeah, and digital PR.
Okay, yeah, so why don't we start off with SEO? What areas specifically, because you've got content in terms of SEO, which is super important, then you have the distribution of the content. Maybe we'll start with the content piece. What specifically is trending now in terms of great content for the digital landscape?
Yeah, absolutely. So content is so essential to ranking online, to making your business more visible online, but not just any sort of content. It's content that actually adds value and doesn't just repeat what everyone else is repeating. So a lot of people, the number one mistake that they're making when they're trying to publish content is they're looking at what their competition is publishing and they're like, okay, I'm just going to rehash everything, right? but that adds zero unique value in for your potential customers and in Google's eyes. Google's like, well, you're just like the other guys. Like, why should I rank your website higher? So that's where the your expertise really comes into play, especially if you're a local business. You actually have that knowledge, years and years of experience out in the field doing, you know, the work that you are knowledgeable about. And so you can infuse your content with unique tips, unique value, unique knowledge that is not found anywhere else on the web. And that is what is going to help you outrank the competition.
Yeah. And I, you know, from our standpoint, from, you know, we're building the Growth Factory and the Backyard Advantage, and we've got the Mark Haney Show. We've specifically decided to focus on our own backyard, to stay hyper-local, relentlessly local. Yeah. And I've been just having a conversation earlier today about why is that? And the idea with that was to be different, because online we have such more opportunity to take our business globally. Right?
Right. There's an international
audience. You can take it so wide. Why be relentlessly local and hyper local? And one of the reasons was that I love my hometown and I love to live vicariously through my business partners and through the people that I invest into and the people that come on my show and so on. I like to know them. It's fun for me and it's rewarding. But also, by focusing local, it would be more unique than just trying to go out there and boil the ocean. Let's focus on Sacramento entrepreneurship, but it hasn't got my rankings up. So that's kind of like the thing is like, okay, I have a different philosophy, I think, than most, but I don't know that I've positioned our brand in terms of online content and online. We don't really do a lot of marketing, but we haven't really necessarily positioned our brand on that front, even though I do think local, hyper-local is unique for the type of thing we're doing.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. So focus, you know, if you are a local business, you should be focused locally.
Okay.
Don't try to, you know, compete nationally, because then you're opening up a Pandora's box of competition. You know, you're going to have to deal with so many other factors that are going to be very challenging. So if you're just focused on, you know, just expanding your reach locally, that is going to help you gain that market share that, you know, is going to be difficult to gain if you're trying to, you know, compete against the huge corporations that are out there vying for people's online attention.
Okay, so, you know, there's different kinds of people that are focused locally. So at the Growth Factory, we invest into companies typically that are taking their product nationally or globally. They really aren't the small business as much, although those are a lot of my friends. My daughter, in fact, is a mompreneur. She's got a real estate company, and it's a residential real estate company. Yeah, and so she has this desire to win here in the Sacramento region. How might she or another entrepreneur differentiate themselves with their content in order to stay relevant and get noticed?
I think it's really important to develop a strong kind of brand voice, a unique voice that that your target customers resonate with. Because right now we're seeing just an influx of AI-generated content. Everyone is churning out the same thing at rapid, you know, speed, because it's so easy to just, you know, you tap a button and you get this article. I don't know if you've ever played with ChatGPT before.
I have.
It's crazy, right? Like, you can create an article in like 1 second.
It's like having the smartest person in the world at my fingertips.
And the thing is, it's only going to get smarter and smarter and smarter. This is just the beginning of, we're in the midst of an incredible AI revolution that is transforming everything. So if you're going to stand out amongst everyone that's, you know, producing AI generated content or just content that's cookie cutter, deliver that authentic brand voice, like be yourself and make that be consistent, you know, in the way that you produce content, how you talk about it. And that's really going to resonate with people. They're going to become your fans. They're going to identify with what you're saying. They're going to like you more. No one wants to read AI content.
I mean, Well, one of the things we're going to do, we've been doing our strategic planning for kind of our year-end strategic planning stuff for next year. And we're going to tweak our podcast a little bit. Let me run this idea by you, and I'll run it by our audience as well. I talked to my daughter, who's in real estate, and she's very successful, and she knows the Sacramento region really well. And so we wanted to highlight why Sacramento is such a great place to live and work and thrive and raise a family. Yeah. And so we're going to go to locations or bring the locations here, whether it be Folsom, El Dorado Hills, Yolo, Sacramento, East Sac, and so on, and talk about why each of those places are so unique and such a great place to live and work. But together, that makes up the Backyard Advantage, which is sort of at the heart of what we are building here in terms of our brand. So I want to throw that at you and get your thoughts on it, not whether it's good or bad, but like, what? How else could we make it great?
How else can you make it great? I mean, have you considered, you know, running social media campaigns and targeting people that might be interested in you know, what you guys are doing? Because with social media, you can get really granular. You can target the right customers and get your message out.
Yeah, yeah. So let's say I go to Folsom. Let's say I want to target the... have some buddies in here from Folsom. Let's talk about how great Folsom is. Great place to live, grow a business. A number of my portfolio companies are based out of Folsom. And our target customer is either a high net worth individual that might invest. It might be a startup that might want to come in and be a part of what we're doing. Maybe a mentor. So maybe help me think about how would I use digital marketing to identify and target those specific groups. Any thoughts come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, you can create a social media ad talking about, you know, why Folsom is a great place to, you know, start a business, or you can even write content. You know, I'm sure, there's a lot of tools that you can use. I personally use Ahrefs in my business. It's a tool that allows you to see like the exact keyword search keywords that people are searching for.
What is it called again?
Ahrefs,
Ahrefs. Ahrefs.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of like the gold standard SEO tool that all SEO agencies use.
Okay, and because I'm not a marketer, so I might dive a little deeper into that. So how would I use this particular tool?
So you can go in the tool, you can type in something like Folsom business, and then you will get a set of different keyword ideas that can serve as potential blog topics that target kind of that central theme of, you know, how to start a business in Folsom, you know, business incubators Folsom, or just things of that nature. So it kind of gets you thinking in the direction of producing the right content that speaks to those potential.
So people searching for an incubator, or people searching for venture capital, startups in Folsom. Where's the community? That type of thing.
Resources, Folsom. I mean, I'm just
I'm catching totally off guard. I know. I know. That's the idea of the show. It's supposed to be totally impromptu, no script. Obviously.
I know.
But okay, so I do that. And then this is for marketing. Is this for, how would I use this? Would I use this on YouTube or Google or what?
So both. So the tool, so it sounds like I'm promoting the tool. I get nothing out of promoting this tool.
Ahrefs. Don't buy it. No, I'm kidding.
No, but it actually shows you the search volume for that keyword in Google, but also in YouTube, Amazon, and a variety of other places as well. So you can see how many people are searching for that keyword a month.
Okay, so my differentiated idea, you didn't seem overwhelmed with how different I'm trying to be. Give me an idea of a campaign or a content strategy that was super unique that maybe we could all relate to.
This is where digital PR comes into play, because I think that's kind of like the next wave of marketing. It's becoming really important. So what you can do is, if you are an expert in your field, you can come up with a campaign idea. And this is also content marketing related. Digital PR is sort of like content marketing. You can come up with an idea that's relevant to your industry, but that's also newsworthy, that journalists in the media might be interested in covering. And then you put together a campaign, you gather the data, if you're an expert, you can provide your commentary, your expert commentary. Let's say if you're a roofer, right? You can say something like, you know, this winter season, you know, what are the ways that you can prevent damage to your roof? Like, these are the warnings that you have to, this is what you have to do this winter to prevent damage to your roof and water intrusion.
And on that roofer idea, that's good because, right, El Nino, it's supposed to rain more this year than, I guess, in years past. It rained a lot last year, but that's newsworthy, right? El Nino is upon us. That means more challenges with our roofs and
home maintenance and problems. And here's what you need to be aware of. And then, you know, you as a roofer, you can provide your expert commentary and you go out to journalists. You find them by either, you know, searching on Google or using a media database search like Cision, which is what we use. And then you identify the journalists that are most likely to cover your campaign.
Well,
and
on
then
that one, that's an interesting
media,
one because
mentions.
Roofers are they're kind of local typically by and large. Right? I'm a roofer. I've got 10 employees and I focus on the Sacramento area, let's say. What media outlet comes to mind in terms of handling that type of issue? What would it be? Would it be traditional media or is there certain because when you say digital PR, we're talking about public relations, right? So a public relations campaign that drives something that's newsworthy mm-hmm. so that you don't have to pay for the marketing. It's free.
It's free.
So digital marketing, free earned media that is driven by the fact that it's going to rain a lot this year.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. And then who comes to mind? Like, would that be like Fox News or is there a digital news organization that focuses on certain industries like that?
Yeah, so that you would have to identify those in your, you know, with it, by looking in Incision or Muckrack or similar media databases to see who would be interested in covering that campaign. And a lot of them you will find, you know, the journalists reside in California, and that's awesome because you're based in California. But other journalists will write for other regional publications across the nation, and they would, you know, if they're interested in covering your campaign, they will cover it in their regional publications. But the benefit of having coverage from media sites that are not just in California is that will help boost your own little website's authority, and it will become more visible to your local customers. So there's that snowball effect. You know, you're getting more backlinks and more mentions from media sites across the nation, but that will help boost your own local visibility in Sacramento, if you're based in Sacramento. So if that makes sense.
Let's say I want to drive that in terms of like getting some clicks. Would I share that kind of look, I made the national trade publication, so I'm going to share it on Instagram or on LinkedIn or wherever I'm going to put it on my website.
Create
the backlinks to my website.
Yes. So that shows that you are a credible brand and that will help boost your brand signals and trust signals in Google, but also for your potential customers. If a customer sees that you've been featured in, you know, the Washington Post on your website with that as featured on banner, that's going to increase trust. That's going to make your brand look more credible. Like, wow, this company has been featured in the media, you know, and who gets featured in the media? It's brands, it's real legitimate brands.
So let's say I'm that roofer and I want to, you know, go through this process and I want to create the story, if you will, and send it to the news organizations. Do I create that as a press release? Do I create that as a video? What kind of work do I need to do in order to get them to pick me up?
Yeah, it's usually just the press release.
Okay.
So that suffices. But what we also like to do is create some sort of like a visual asset that we can also send to journalists so they can understand the data or whatever advice that we're presenting them with in a more, you know, visual way. Because people are visual, right? They want to see everything illustrated. That makes more sense to them.
Would that be like a picture of a roof caving in or, winter storm and, you know, people using sandbags?
It would be a visual image of your tips of how to maintain, you know, step one, step two, step three. Here are your tips. And then
what you should do prior.
Yes,
sign up for a home maintenance contract.
Yes.
Basically, make sure that, determine the age of your roof. I don't know, those kind of things.
And for expert commentary campaigns like that, it's usually not necessary to have to create that visual representation. But for other types of campaigns where you're actually gathering data by means of a survey or existing public data, then that's kind of where you want to create that visual representation, because it can get a little bit challenging for people to interpret, you know, the data that you've come up with.
Okay.
But yes.
Okay. So that's PR, digital PR. In terms of content generally, my head kind of, when I think of content, I sort of think about what I'm more familiar with. We do a lot of stuff on video. We have a podcast and interviews and things like that. But creating good content, what's trending now in terms of getting picked up on, you know, the most popular platforms? It's obviously, if it's YouTube, it's going to be video. But yes. What about, you know, Instagram and LinkedIn and Facebook and, you know, the rest, TikTok? What's trending?
Yeah, so I'm not too familiar with TikTok. And I mean, my area of expertise is Google primarily, but I'm also pretty familiar with LinkedIn. So obviously LinkedIn is a B2B platform. And what I see trending on LinkedIn specifically is people that work for companies that share their kind of like their personal advice and what's worked with them for them, case studies type of content that is very actionable that people can apply.
Okay, so it's kind of like educational type stuff. People want to hear more about how to win, if you will. How, you know, they want to be not necessarily inspired or, you know, laugh at things. They want to be brought into actionable steps on how to make things work better.
Actionable steps. Inspirational stories always work well, of course, for any platform, I think. But for LinkedIn specifically, it's, you know, case studies, it's how-to tips. Here's what's worked for me. Here are the results. You know, at least in my industry, that's what I see trending the most.
If it's on video or you've got a good visual or the right hook, or, you know, what kind of tips are there in terms of, you know, creating that content so that it, you know, we don't just scroll through it?
Yeah, you have to, that hook, that first sentence, if people are not hooked by it, they're going to scroll past it. So that first sentence, you have to make so engaging and so captivating, and then break up your, the paragraphs by sentence, don't have chunks of paragraphs and text. Cause people, we were like, what? It's too much to parse through. You know, you have to make it just one sentence, and then keep it as concise as possible. Don't use fluff language.
Okay. What would be a good example of a great hook?
Here are 15 ways that I failed in my business this year and what I would have done differently.
Yes. So
15 ways I failed in, or 15 ways I could have.
Here's how I avoided failing in my business.
Yeah, something like that. Or, yeah. And then
you want to succeed as a roofer. This is the one thing you need to know.
Oh, it's always that one thing.
Yeah, it's only one thing.
There's one thing. What's the one thing? Right? Everyone. Yeah. So yeah. And then you know, you have the colon there, and then you just.
Something to get them to stop. Otherwise, if you go on let's call it a longer dissertation, and your first sentence is not captivating, they just go right through it.
Well, we have just super short attention spans more than ever. You know, we're just very impatient people. If something's not interesting within the first millisecond, we scroll past. I do that.
How long should a video be if I'm going to post it online?
It really depends. If you're writing, if you're coming up with a video that's highly educational, you can go past, you know, let's say 3 minutes. But I would say between like 1 to 3 minutes is kind of a good spot for the majority of videos. But again, educational videos can go, you know, up to maybe 15 minutes max. I think more than that is a little bit too much.
And then maybe if you have a 15-minute video, maybe use some shorter micro content to send
shorts,
people to the longer form. Content.
Yeah, the YouTube shorts. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Yes.
Are YouTube shorts? I watch Gary Vee. I follow him on Instagram. He's talking about the rise of YouTube shorts and that's really a place where you want to put some of your promotional, you know, resources. Would you agree with that?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, YouTube is becoming more significant than ever. Even now in Google, if you do a Google search, you're going to not only see organic search results and paid search results, of course, but now you see a variety of YouTube videos that pop up in Google search results. So if you want to, you know, dominate Google search results, you should also create YouTube videos, because those YouTube videos will also be delivered in Google.
Yeah, I noticed that when you do it the right way. Yeah, when you do a Google search, let's say we send it out for venture capital, they'll be up at the top. It'll show two or three videos that are sort of enticing that make you want to click on them. You might see some ads, right? Some advertisements. Mm-hmm. And typically I scroll down past some of that stuff and try to get to the first one that sort of makes sense to me, or I'll click on one of the videos. Typically don't click on the ones that look like advertisements. Am I abnormal in that?
No.
I know I almost never, it looks like an ad. I'm like, oh, I'm not clicking on that one.
Can you tell a Google ad?
It say like ad next to it or something
like
that?
Yeah, but it's very hard to tell nowadays. Oh,
I feel like I can.
You can.
But I rarely click on the ads.
Yeah, most people don't click on ads too much.
Yeah, I click on the video because like, maybe I should have YouTube this instead of Googling it. So I might click on a YouTube, or I'll scroll down a little further and look for something that seems more relevant.
Legitimate, less clickbaity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm trying not to get caught by some marketing scheme.
By the number one secret that you need.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the secret to be the roofer. I don't get caught in that thing. So, okay. So we've talked a little bit about content and any more thoughts around content other than differentiation and beyond that?
I think a really important key point I need to stress is that you shouldn't just publish content just to publish it because everyone else is doing it. Have a strategy, know what you're doing, because if you think you're like, okay, well, Google rewards content, right? I need to be producing content, and you're churning out, 10, 15 blogs a week that really serve no purpose, or there's no strategy behind it, you're actually shooting yourself in the foot, because then you run into all these sorts of issues. Like you might be covering the same topic multiple times, and that ends up cannibalizing your content, cannibalizes itself, and then Google can't figure out which blog they should rank you for. And so it doesn't rank you for anything. So you need to have a strategy in mind and know what you're doing and do it the right way. Less is more.
Okay, so let's go back to my realtor daughter. She wants to build her personal customer base or personal client base. And she wants to be known for locally being, really approachable and, really informed about the Sacramento region and, the housing market and so on. So her goal is to grow her business. Give me some ideas on what that strategy could look like in order to, be considered a strategy versus just like hit and miss.
Yeah. So I think, without knowing your daughter's website and seeing how it looks and everything.
I don't even know it either. I'm just using it as an example.
Well, so one of the main ways that local businesses can rank in their area is to create localized landing pages. So what that means is, if you are a real estate agent, but you're trying to rank for, let's say, Sacramento real estate, mm-hmm. you should create a dedicated page on your website that's focused on Sacramento real estate. So that page would, the title might be Sacramento Real Estate Agent. And on that page, you would kind of introduce yourself and your services. Uh-huh. Then you talk about, what you do, what you offer people in the Sacramento area, why they should choose you over the competition.
Okay.
Key information like your opening times, your hours of operation, your phone number, maybe a map. So just really speaking to that specific city. And that's really helpful for local businesses that don't have a physical office location in that city, but mm-hmm. they want to rank for it.
Interesting, because you think about the number of people that want to relocate to the Sacramento region over the last several years, and it's still happening today.
Yes.
So people in the Bay Area, LA, and maybe across the globe thinking, where might I relocate to? And Sacramento's been a hot place for people to relocate to, but I'm relocating there. I'm going to need a realtor. I want someone who understands it. Yeah. So I go online, I search, and you want your info to pop up quick. Interesting. Okay, so then you want to position yourself as the authority in, you know, understanding the market.
Yeah, and then of course also having that Google Business page, which is free for everyone. Are you familiar with?
No.
So Google Business page, you probably have one for the Growth Factory, but it's a profile that Google gives you for free. It shows up in that little local map.
Okay.
And, you know, with the stars, you guys probably do.
We have it.
Okay. So that's what.
Okay.
No problem. So on your free local Google Business page, you want to also make sure it's completely filled out, optimized. You have images. You have the profile needs to be completed. And also you need to specify your service areas. So if you are servicing Sacramento and, you know, Loomis and everything, you know, Auburn, all that, you need to specify that on there so that Google can know that you also service those areas.
Okay.
That's also in addition to having localized landing pages on your website for those particular areas. So then you're telling Google, look, I operate in all those areas, and there's a dedicated landing page on my website that speaks to that area, and I also have my profile that I've, like, you know, specified. I actually operate in that area.
Okay.
I work in that area, so.
Okay. Yeah. In terms of, okay, you said you're more of an expert in Google. Does that mean YouTube too? Because Google and YouTube are part of the same organization.
Kind of. Yes, they're part of the same organization, but they operate completely differently.
Okay.
So okay. I'm diving into that this year.
Yeah. Well, let's focus on Google then, because so is that the why is that your focus, and is that the number one place to conduct business? You know, get lead gen.
It absolutely is. Still, I think it's like the statistics show that 72% of searches are still conducted on Google or something like that. So it's still the number one. You know, it's the number one search engine. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So how utilizing Google to drive leads and revenue and so on? Maybe give me an overview of how I might want to approach that.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on, you know, someone's marketing budget, the company's marketing budget. But ideally, we want to dominate all of Google search results. We want to be in the ads. We want to be in the local map pack, right? And that's with the Google My Business profile. And we also want to be in the organic search results. So then you're visible in three locations. That's the ideal strategy. But if it depends on, you know, a company's marketing budget. And if we just have a very limited budget, then the very least that we can do is get you on that local map pack. That's free. You can sign up for it. And
the
then
whole
get
idea
reviews.
Is that when people search for these keywords, because if somebody searched for the Growth Factory right now, and we come right up, we're like the first one to come up.
That's a branded search, yeah.
Right, a branded search. So a search for incubator, I have no idea where
that's
we would
different.
Come up.
Yeah. So that would be different. Yeah. So that's something you would want to optimize for.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. And if your business does not come up for your brand name, then that's problematic.
A lot of businesses I find that it's like, okay, you got, the first thing to come up is like something about Facebook, you know, their Facebook profile or something comes up. It's like, oh wow.
But if your website is not coming up for your business name, then there's something wrong with your website. Either your website's there's like a technical issue where your website might not even be crawlable by Google. So you need to investigate that.
I have seen that with companies, but usually it's like a little tiny company.
Yeah.
You don't see that
too often, but I mean, it does happen. Yeah. With web developers that come up with, you know, create websites, and then their business owners come to us. They're like, well, my website's not even indexable by Google, and it's not in Google. What's going on? We're like, well, because it's blocked. There's like in the robots text file, it says this, you know, block every crawler.
And in terms of, like, let's say it's a company that's a little bit more mature or maybe has more of a marketing budget, then they can do ads on Google.
Yeah.
Right? You can spend money. How do you spend money with Google?
Google ads. Google loves Google ads. That's their, their number one, you know, the source of revenue. So Google loves ads. You have to open a Google ads account and create your ads and assets and know
what
you're targeting.
Do you buy a keyword? How does it work?
Yeah,
and they're different pricing?
Yes, because you're competing against other advertisers. If you're in a highly competitive city, let's say Chicago, that's where one of our clients, you know, that's where they operate. extremely competitive, right? So they have advertisers, their competitors, bidding hundreds of dollars on one keyword. So they have to spend more per click than someone, let's say, in, you know, in a rural, you know,
environment. I hope the value of their property or the customer is high if they're spending that much money on a keyword.
Yeah, some keywords can be very costly. Yeah, very costly.
Like, what's a popular key search term?
I mean, for which industry?
Well, I don't know. Like, what would be, like, would you try to find something that's, you want to find something that you can get a value on, right? So, right, if you looked up commercial real estate in Chicago.
That would probably be a very expensive.
That's going to cost a lot of money. How might you find a way to find something that's maybe get the, something different that was maybe cheaper? Is there like a technique for doing that?
Then create a content on your website.
Yeah.
That's cheap. And that's, I mean, it can cost you literally nothing. And if you do it the right way, you can rank organically for that keyword.
Okay.
That way you don't have to pay money for it per click, you know?
Are there certain types of businesses that lend themselves better to advertising on Google?
I mean, I guess just having a really good marketing budget, a solid marketing budget, because it can. So with Google Ads, you can spend a lot of money. You can burn through cash quickly. And if you don't have a strategy in place, if you are just, you know, a business owner and you're like, okay, I'm going to just run ads, and then just you think it's like just set it and forget it, you are going to waste all of your money. You need a strategy and you need to do it right. You know, but big corporations, they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on Google Ads every month. They don't care if they're, you know, if they're getting like, you know, 100 clicks and no conversions. They're just in it to drive brand awareness and, you know, be at the top. For them, it's more about brand awareness than anything.
Some of our companies are like backing into their strategy a little bit from like the cost of the customer acquisition and working off of the lifetime value of the customer, right? Your customer is worth $1,000. And if I can acquire a customer for $50, then it might be, you know, part of a good strategy. When you get into talks with people on strategy and how to budget, where does that sort of calculation sort of fit into the conversation?
Yeah, so we try to figure out, you know, yeah, what is your customer lifetime value? Like what you know, how much is this customer worth for you? And then based on that information, we try to reverse engineer a maximum cost per click, because we want to set a cap. We don't want the client to spend, you know, $100 a click if they are really only able to spend like $5 a click, you know, because then that's, you're just spending a ton of money without actually getting an ROI. So we always try to reverse engineer everything based on what the client tells us. We try to dig that out of the client. And a lot of times, unfortunately, clients don't really know, which is, you know, why.
It's
really important to know your numbers.
What about like testing? A lot of times we'll suggest to people, you do some A-B testing, create this content, use this keyword, you know, do all these testing before you, you know, unload the whole budget on something. Then you figure out something that works, then you spend a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the beauty of Google Ads is that you can A-B test all your ads. So you can see exactly which ad is converting best for you. And that's really nice. With SEO, it's a little harder because you can't just create, you know, two versions of the same blog. You can use different tools that can help you A-B test. So there's different methods that you can use as far as that goes. With Google Ads, it's very clear and cookie cutter. It's like, okay, you have this ad and this ad, run them at the same time. Which one is converting best?
Well, you talked about artificial intelligence a little bit earlier too, and how that is changing the landscape for advertising. Not only is it changing the way a lot of us develop our content, but the overall industry is changing. I've heard people talking like, you know, search as we know it today is going to change radically because of things like ChatGPT and other kinds of AI opportunities that, you know, you're going to use that kind of thing for search instead of going to Google or, you know, one of the other search engines.
Yeah. So actually, I don't know if you've heard too much about it, but Google Search Generative Experience, SGE, is going to be rolling out probably sometime next year. We're thinking maybe Q2 or so, Q3 at the latest. And it's an AI built into Google. So you type in a keyword and then above all the organic search results, even the ads, you're going to get this AI generated kind of content with information and results from different websites that Google thinks is relevant. And it's going to provide you with an answer right away.
Is it going to look a little bit... So most of our audience is probably familiar with ChatGPT, where you type something in like, hey, give me 5 good ideas for throwing a Christmas party. Okay, you know, in seconds, yes. It's got great ideas. I'd like it to be a little more humorous. Okay, no, let's make it a little more sentimental. You know, and it just shoots out these ideas, and it sort of gives it to you in a format that you... that's helpful to you. Oh, make it a little bit longer. Give me another 5 ideas. Are you saying then that on Google's AI tool that it'll be more like that? You can get data that looks a little less like, you know, what we see now on Google is you got to go through and choose something and land on somebody's website, which is, and then within the website, you got to sort around to see if it's the right fit.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit more conversational. So you can actually have a conversation with it and then refine the search results and actually never even click on organic.
Interesting.
Which is you know, it's got a lot of us in the industry, you know, a little shaken up. We don't know how this is going to really impact just everything that we do. However, if you... And I'm going to talk personally about myself. If I am searching for something online... Am I going to read an AI generated, an answer, right? Advice from an AI piece, like a robot? Or am I going to scroll down and look at what real people are saying about, you know, whatever I'm typing? Okay. I have an affinity towards human generated content rather than an AI that has no...
Human generated content, like a blog or maybe a customer review?
Yeah, a real company, a real blog, a real person behind that.
Right.
Website, rather than just blindly trusting this AI that I have no idea how it generated that result, first of all. And I don't trust it. I'm a skeptic. And I tend to be kind of like, I don't know if I trust you.
Interesting. But you could prompt it to get the results the way you would want it. Maybe search local news organizations for the answer to this question.
You can, but the problem is with AI, it is, at least at this moment in time, I'm sure it's going to improve. It's notoriously incorrect factually. It makes mistakes. It comes up with things that are not even real. That was kind of like the main criticism point that people were raising regarding Google Bard, which is like it's like the ChatGPT of Google. Again, it's like it goes back to can I trust this? Can I really trust this? And it's going to get better and better and better. It's learning all the time. It's probably going to become extremely smart, smarter than any of us could ever be. But still, at this moment in time, it's like, I don't know if I can trust you. I don't know. You might inspire me to do a little bit more searching of my own and then do my own fact checking, but I'm not going to just blindly go with what you're saying. I'll keep searching on my own.
Okay. So what did I not ask you about digital marketing that you wanted to make sure we covered today? Cause I know that you have, you're in the trenches and I've kind of led you down this path, if you will, in terms of a conversation, but what did we not cover that we want to make sure we cover today?
I think because we're local, I think we need to really emphasize the importance of getting reviews, customer reviews as a local business. Because if you don't have a large marketing budget, reviews are everything. Getting reviews, getting your Google business page set up, completely optimized, post on your Google business page regularly once a week or so and gather customer reviews. Make sure you are getting, you know, reviews and respond to those reviews, whether good or positive or negative. get your Yelp profile, you know, get those are just, I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's free. You don't have to spend any marketing dollars on that. So get that going. That is, you know, and get those reviews. That's literally the number one way to succeed as a local business without, you know, opening yourself up to competing nationally and creating content that's now competing against all these corporations and stuff. Just get that. If that's all you can do, get your Google My Business profile and Yelp profile.
And get some reviews.
Get reviews, yeah.
Ask for reviews.
Don't fall victim to those review scams like, oh, we'll get you 100 reviews for like $5. Don't do that because you will risk your profiles getting suspended and that's your lifeline.
So if you're a roofer and you do a good job, then ask your customer at the end of the project to go online and do a review for you.
Yes, please do us a small favor. Here's the review link. Google gives you that link. It's very easy. They can leave a review, respond to those reviews, and you will get leads that way naturally from locally. So that's just so important. My mom had a family daycare in Sacramento a few years ago. Now she's retired, and she started the business with my dad. They had, you know, very little organic online presence, but they had Yelp and they had Google, and they were getting a steady stream of customers that way because we were so like, we got to optimize these profiles, get a bunch of reviews all the time. And it was they were spending $0 on marketing. That's, it's like, great. A no-brainer. So make sure to have those profiles set up.
That's great. Okay. So last subject then, I want to go here. I wanted to kind of break this up in like the second part of the closing. You sent over something that I can't tell for sure if it's a passion project or not, but you created this video that was inspirational. And maybe because we don't have the audio right now, maybe we'll share the audio link in here just so that it's people know. But basically, you made like this little music video that you provide the lyrics to. And then you've got a lot of upbeat music to the background, but then you, a lot of inspirational, what sounds like kind of like self-talk,
affirmations
and stuff
meditation.
Like that. Yeah. But it's, it was upbeat. It made me want to start something and get going and win. And, you know, and so you wrote that and did you write that for yourself? Did you write that for others?
So I'm Ready by Active Ohm. Active Ohm is my kind of my passion music project that I'm working on at the moment. I am on a mission to inspire the world to live their best lives through music that not only, you know, uplifts people, but it just motivates them and has these affirmations to help people get going, you know, reach their goals, take the next step, do the right things to help them live really the most fulfilling lives that they can live.
So the name of the organization or project?
Active Ohm. Yeah.
Active Ohm? A-O-O-H-M?
O-M. Yeah.
O-M. Active Ohm. What's that stand for?
It's like Ohm, you know? Ohm.
Ohm, like a yoga. Okay, we do that like at yoga, yeah.
But you're active because so...
Active Ohm. Okay. Yes.
What speaks to me is I've never been the type... I know meditation is really important, but I've never been the type to just sit still. When I meditate, I'm on a run. I'm like going. I'm at the gym. I'm like moving. So I need to be in movement. So I need to be active in my own.
Oh,
that's kind of how it came about.
Okay. And that music, you know, I watched the video and listened to the music and it's your voice.
Yeah.
Somehow who created the beats behind?
86 Crush.
Okay. That was really upbeat type of sounding. And then we had your voice, almost like less singing, less, more like talking, but in a musical way.
Yes.
I won't call it rap because it doesn't sound like rap, but
I'm
a little
a
bit more upbeat speaking to music.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like a fusion of, I would say, guided meditation and EDM music, electronic music.
Okay. And then so you did that one piece and it kind of created a little video with it. What's the, in terms of the vision for this, is this a platform where other people create their own music. You want to create music for the world. What's the purpose?
Yeah,
what's
the- I mean, the idea is eventually to create music, to kind of have like an app or something where people can, you know, say, hey, today I'm feeling like I need extra motivation. And then we can, you know, hear all the songs that can inspire you. Here's a motivational playlist that you can listen to.
So it wouldn't be necessarily you. It would be other artists as well.
Yeah, not necessarily me. I've never been someone to be like, me, I'm central. I just create the ideas, and I always bring in the right people that align with my ideas, and we become a team that is aligned and has the same goal.
Okay,
and
so right now, though, that's like a...
It's like a demo track.
That's like a demo track. The platform where other people can kind of go get more of that is not built yet.
Is that
be like an Instagram channel, or is that you can use one of the major... How do you create a platform for that?
Yeah, I mean that I'm still trying to figure that out. Honestly, it's I don't have enough time in the day to, you know, have all these ideas and things I want to create and do and stuff. But yeah, I mean, we've got an Instagram channel right now. You know, we're slowly trying to grow it.
So what's your Instagram handle?
Active Ohm Official.
Active Ohm Official. Active OM Official.
Yes.
And then if I get on there, will I see that that video?
You'll see like a little snippet of it. Yeah.
Okay. Will I see anybody else's content on there that you've posted?
At the moment, we're just kind of posting inspirational quotes. Okay. Most of them are original for me from my runs, because that's when I get all these ideas, or before I go to sleep, which is when my brain just like, oh, all these ideas come to mind. I'm like, I'm just trying to sleep right now, but then I have to get up and like write it on my phone, you know, before I forget. Does that ever happen to you?
Oh,
I hate this, but I love this.
A lot of my meditation time, I try to, you know, I try to go to sleep without, you know, have my mind racing. So I try to think about the things that are most important to me right before I go to bed. So hopefully I have a good dream.
Yes.
This is all things that are stressing me out, and I have bad dreams. But then when I get up in the morning, that's part of my thing is, you know, a lot of like meditation or, you know, downtime, if you will, where I'm looking at a particular screen that reminds me of the most important things in my life. And then that's, if I start off thinking about that stuff, then, you know, I'm off on the right foot for the day.
There's actually a quote on Active Ohm that I came up with. How you start your day is how you end your day, too. Like you have to be in that flow, you know. When you wake up in the morning, you need to be in the right mindset and get the day started off right, because that's going to affect the rest of the day, too.
Agreed. Now, okay, right? So you mentioned that we used to do CrossFit together, which I had forgotten about. But, okay, so I went to yoga and CrossFit this morning. I meditated, yoga, CrossFit, and now, you know, a couple of meetings and hanging out with you a little bit. So how does what happens in your morning with kids and the mompreneur? I don't know how you have time to meditate.
Yeah. So I mean, the mornings are getting the kids ready for school, making sure that they are fully dressed, that they're not fighting and at each other's throats, making sure they're well fed, then take them to school. And my husband takes my oldest to school, I take my youngest, come home, and every day I've been creating a habit of drinking matcha.
Oh, I've seen ceremonial that advertised. Matcha. I've never drank it before.
Yeah, matcha is incredible. It's
is that
almost
like a coffee replacement?
You know what? It's so different than coffee. Oh. It's just I like coffee, but I also drink matcha. And this is kind of like my morning ritual. I make my matcha and I kind of just sit. I look out the window. I go into like my little morning meditation. And then that just sort of helps start my day on the right track. You know, unless there's like urgent emails I have to get to, which I'm not perfect. So, you know, I'll get a notification of something like, oh, there's this client needs this and that. I'm like, you know, but I want to meditate, but you're like,
yes.
I think it's important to understand that you're not going to be perfect, you know, but if you strive to create like a routine for yourself that gets you into that right mindset, where you are, you know, you're working also, but then you're taking breaks, you go on a walk, you're taking care of your health, that's going to help you be the best business owner that you can be, the best employee that you can be to your team, the best husband or mother to your, you know, wife too.
Yeah.
So it just has a trickle down effect. and on everyone.
It does.
The best driver that you can be, because there's some crazy drivers on the road right
no
now.
No doubt. No doubt. I drive fast to stay away from them. Well, Gabriella, I appreciate you coming on the show today. Thank you for educating us, for inspiring us, and definitely for humanizing it, right? You're the, you know, the real world entrepreneur that's also a mom and juggling it all and living a great life. So thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this.
You betcha.
Thank you.
And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage. And of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at the Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.